welcome everybody to Blazing the World Radio Show with your host, Wanda Adams. We first and foremost want to give all glory and honor to God. We have a very, very special show planned for you this morning. It's a special edition because most of you who listen to me and follow me know that I normally do my shows on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a very special guest that is going to be on the line. I'm so excited. Sal, can you hear my voice? I'm so excited because this is an amazing, amazing woman of God. And so while we wait for her to come in on the line, I'm going to play another song, and the next voice you will hear will be our very special guest, First Lady Pauline Plummer. So we're going to give her a minute because she's calling from Jerusalem, and that's a blessing. She has an amazing testimony. But I'm going to play this song. We were just listening to Priscilla Hilliard's Fresh Fire. So now we're going to listen to Gonna Make It by David and Tiffany Spencer. With a very, very special guest, First Lady Pauline Plummer. I believe she's on the line. So give a big Blazing the World welcome to First Lady Pauline Plummer.
Well, good morning. Is it? Yes, I'm here. How are you, Lady Wanda?
Good morning, my
Can you
sister.
Hear me?
I don't know if you admit. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Sometimes we have a little issue with audio, using the Blog Talk platform, but we're getting ready to go. This show will be streaming on WDAP Radio in Buffalo, New York, and Marsh Media. So we got some big plans ahead, First Lady. But I don't know if you remember, a few years back, you and I were featured through Kingwood Film Festival.
Yes. Yes.
Powerful women to watch in ministry.
Yes, yes. And I have to say, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And you are one of the most important, significant voices today that we have in Christian media. So back then it was relevant, and still today is just as relevant. So I just want to give you that. That insight, the gratefulness that we have for what you're doing in media,
I come nowhere near you. You doing some things. I'm so thankful to God. God is rising up women. When I look at you, and I said, I'm going to reach out to her. I said, because everybody needs to hear her testimony. I said, this is a mighty woman of God, beautiful. Married to a magnificent man, has a wonderful family. Now you're living in Jerusalem. So tell our listening audience who First Lady Pauline Plummer is.
Wow, that's a loaded question. But first of all, I want to say good morning to the viewers. That's a loaded question. I think I would have to define that who I am is a vessel of change. My desire is to be a vessel of change, one who desires to preserve the authenticity and the trustworthiness of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, through mentorship and through my life, by example, by my words, by my actions. And that I will be a light, in the world, where a light of hope, a light unveiling of who God is in terms of humanity. And so I that's who I would say that I am. I am one who loves God with everything that's in me. I have dedicated and committed my life to advance the kingdom of God and to be a help me to mankind in whatever way that I can. So that's who I would say. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, and I'm a servant.
Amen. Well, you're a very humble woman, and I think that's what draws people to you. I know that at one time you were a model. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. I started out modeling professionally in my younger years. I modeled for Ford Modeling Agency, which was in partnership with Serendipity. And so I did print and runway and just love the whole fashion industry. Which, kind of catapulted me into the fashion industry, or should I say the beauty industry. I ended up, in terms of being a regional executive for some of the major cosmetic lines today and trainer. And even today I have my own cosmetic line, which I'm about to launch. And so I love the beauty industry. I love working with women and helping them to understand the beauty that's not only, on the outside, but the total woman and being beautiful inside and out. But I love enhancing the outward. I love it. So.
Oh, I know. Okay. And you said, now, is your cosmetic line already launched or is it launching?
We're launching in October. Yes, this upcoming month. It's called Ruth Beauty Cosmetics, and it's a wonderful makeup, and I wear it, you know, of course, myself, so many people always compliment, you know, me on my makeup. And so, you know, when I first started out, I was, you know, pretty much the only woman of color in that arena for a long time, and I know how hard it is to, you know, to break into that area. And now today, of course, that's not the same story. And so I feel like I have a lot to lend, you know, in terms of knowledge, you know, and then to mentor women in business who have a desire, you know, to be in the industry and just help them to take godly principles, you know, in order to, you know, understand that makeup is not a replacement, it's an enhancement. But the most enhancement happens in the inside the inner woman. And so it's more than just the cosmetic brand. We like to say that we are the beauty ambassador for all brands. And so with that, we'll have a finishing school for girls. I still believe that, you know, girls should be girls, and I want to, you know, lend, you know, my talents to that. And so we'll have a finishing school. We'll also, you know, have job opportunities, you know, for those, you know, who are looking to, you know, kind of leap out into the industry. So, so it launches in October. Yeah.
Well, you got to tell us where, when we get ready to end the show, tell us where to go, what your website will be, so people, our listeners, can go out and support you and purchase it. Because, you know, I love good makeup because, you know, as you know, it's kind of hard to find the right product for you.
Yes, the right product, the right color, and that has been a major challenge, you know, in the industry, and, you know, as women of color, being able to find, you know, their shades and something just for them. Although, you know, the line is not exclusive, you know, to African Americans, it's for all women, and but, you know, we can help in that area to make sure. And I'm telling you, the shades are beautiful, honey. And you know how we like to praise God and everything. The makeup stays on, doesn't move. It's right there.
So when the tears come rolling down my face, I'm going to still look good.
You're going to still look good. Yes. I tell you, you're still going to look great. Yes. It is a wonderful product and quality. Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about this. I know you've been married for some years. How did you meet your husband?
Wow. Well, I met my husband, who is a wonderful man, by the way, and I met him as I was traveling, honoring men and women across the globe for their service that they have given to the community. So it was the President's Lifetime Achievement Award, which is sponsored by the President's Volunteer Service Award. And so during the course of that year, I honored 676 men and women across the globe. A little that I knew, God was getting ready to change my life. and so I met him. He was one of the honorees, and so that's how we met. And you know, it was definitely you know, God presenting us to each other, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful journey.
Amen. Now, you also work in television, and you do some things in television. Share with our listeners about what you have going on in television.
Yes, so I feel like I got this little checklist, right, going on.
Well,
you don't think about
so much,
how
so
much
I'm
you're doing
to...
until someone asks you, you know. So actually, you know, I have, as you said, I've been in television over 25 years. I started out in Atlanta as a host for WATC, Television 57 there. And I started as a guest, actually, singing. I was singing with a male choir. At the time, I was working with Ambassadors for Christ there, which was a transitional home mm-hmm. for men with different plights. And I was their life skill coach. And so I taught them skills that would help them to manage their lives. And so I found that a lot of them had talent, you know, singing talent. And as you know, I sing gospel as well. And so they wanted a choir. They wanted a male choir. And so I put together the male choir. And so the president of the ministry at that time was asked to be a guest on WACC. And they wanted him to bring along the choir. And so I was the director, and I sang that night, led a song. And so then the producer at the time, which I like to say she's my mother in television, Sheila Zabosnick, asked me to come back to sing. So I went back to sing and had no idea, no desire for television, you know, to that capacity in terms of hosting. I had, of course, appeared on several television shows, but I mean, never the idea of hosting and you know, getting into, you know, the television industry. But she saw something in me. And I remember one day after a couple times I had went to sing, she called me and she said, you know, I believe God is calling you into television. And I said no at first. And I said, I don't think that's what God wants me to do. I said, I'll come on and sing, but I don't think, you know, that's for me. And she says, well, I want you to pray about it. And so after I got off the phone with her, the Lord said, why do you say no when I say yes? And I said, you know, one of the things, you know, I think the hesitancy was not knowing. You know, sometimes God calls you to do things that you have no idea of knowing how to do. And, you know, and I believe in education, I believe in preparation, and all of those things, you know, that sets you up for, you know, to succeed. And this was an area that was out of my reach, so I thought. And so when the Lord said, you know, why do you say no when I say yes? And he said to me, media is ministry. Media is ministry. And I'm calling you into media ministry. And so I humbled my little self down, and I called her, and I said, okay. I said, I'll do this if you will show me how, if you will show me how. And so, you know, from that point, that was over 25 years ago, I started and just fell in love with it. God opened many, many doors. But I think the most wonderful thing about it was I was able to serve others, you know, with that platform that he had given me to open doors, you know, to share their stories, to open doors that normally wouldn't have been open to many people. God allowed me to open the door to, you know, for television for them and to give them an opportunity to share their voice, share their ministry, and share what they were doing and what God was doing in and through their lives. And a lot of them, you know, even, you know, some of them I went on to mentor that have their own television shows, and they're in the media industry now. So, you know, and even now today, God has blessed me. My husband, which we like to say that he was the, you know, the grandfather of many, you know, Christian networks, and he was the chairman of the NRB. He was the first African-American to ever and the only to be the president of the National Religious Broadcasters. And so here it is, he's a guru in television, and then we marry, okay? And he encouraged me to start, you know, I'm sharing with him, you know, my desire to, you know, for women, you know, to do a women's, you know, women's network. And he said, you should go for it. And so with his help and his support and his encouragement and his knowledge, you know, we've now started, well, it's actually been 2 years, but a year launched, and it's called Covenant Daughters Television Network. and it is a television network for women by women. And it's mentoring through media. And so we have all type of programming for women, everything that involves women, you know, we have programming for. And so that's the latest as it relates to, you know, my television in terms of, you know, on an executive level. I now am the CEO of Covenant Daughters Television Network, and I still host the show with my husband. We host together, and so just, you know, producing, just loving it. But that's the latest as far as the television network. That, I think that's, you know, I've never even dreamed of doing that, but God opened the door, and so it's being used as a tool to inspire so many women across the globe. We're on in Detroit on WLTC channel 28.4, 24/7 all day. You can watch us, and we're also on Comcast there in Detroit, and we are on all OTT platforms. So you can get us Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, and we have a mobile app. So you can download our app on your phone. And so we're just, you know, just spreading encouragement, inspiration, education, you know, edification to women to step into their God-given role by His design for their lives, and to see other women, you know, doing it, and to maybe reach them where they wouldn't normally be reached. So that's what we're doing as far as television.
Well, you know, that's an area that I'm trying to break into right now, because, you know, I do marketing and ministry and radio promotions and management and some other things. So, you know, since everybody says the pandemic, I call it a plague, because that's what it is. But, you know, there's no looking backwards. Things have changed. And so television is streaming. You know, you mentioned Roku and some other platforms. So the streaming platforms, they're taking over. And so, you know,
yes.
God has blessed you in that area. And so that's something that, you know, I'm looking for and pursuing. You know, I got some irons in the fire, as we may say. But I am proud of you as a sister in Christ on your obedience and you allowing God to use you, because as we know, it's not easy out here. It's not easy at all. But when you trust the Lord, He always makes a way. He doesn't want us to question. He just wants us to walk through the doors that He has prepared for us.
That's
right. When God opens the door,
yeah,
can't nobody close it.
That's
and when
right.
He closes the door, we don't need to go back and try to open it.
That's right.
It's closed for
and you know
reason.
The thing. That's right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's right, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, because, you know, it is hard. And I think the main thing that makes it hard is not expecting, you know, it to be hard. Even though God gives a vision, you know, there is a process, you know, and that process, you don't get to choose the process. You know that there's a
mm-hmm.
process, and neither do you get to choose the procedure, you know, by which God will take you. You do not get to choose the process, neither do you get to choose the procedure and by which God uses, or the path that He takes you, or the obstacles that you're going to have to face in order for you to get to the promise that He's made to you. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith.
Amen.
And so faith is the vehicle and by which you go from the prophetic word, okay, of God that has been, you know, declared over your life before you were even born, before you were even conceived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I like to say to people, that you are not an afterthought. In other words, God didn't just give you a birth date. You had a date even
uh-huh.
before you given a birth date. You were predestined. You know, and God
mm-hmm.
formed you in the womb. And even
mm-hmm.
before He formed you, He knew you. And what He saw was that there was a need for your existence. There was a need for your existence. And so there was a problem that you were already equipped, and everything that you needed to solve that problem was in you. And so then God gave you a birth date to come to earth. And so he already had the plan, you know, for you, okay? But the path, hallelujah, the path that
you
preach, so you have to, you know, he orders your steps. And so in order for him to, for you to be in sync with the steps that he's already ordered for you, okay, then you have to acknowledge him in all of your ways so that he will direct your path. And you, I promise you, you will get to what God has for you. And so you're right. And once God opened doors, hallelujah, once he opened doors, no man can close them. And when he orders your steps, you got to know that he has already gone before you. Come on, to straighten out those crooked places, to smooth out those rough places, and bring you into an expected end. And so it's faith. Faith is, which is given to all of us, is the vehicle by which you will reach the promises that God has in your life. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, Wanda. It is not going to be easy. But
you preach it.
You can do it. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. For greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And, you know, I look back, you know, over my life, and what I made a decision to make every day of my life count. But the thing about it is every day cannot be about you. It has to be about others because you are a gift to the world. God gave you to be a gift. And so a gift isn't a gift until you give it away. And so I look each and every day of how can I give my gift away to make somebody else's life better. And that's the faith that I have in knowing that I am blessed to be a blessing, right? And so, and even though those doors open and close, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm in the perfect will of God for my life, then nothing else matters. Because when I'm in his perfect will, then I'm in the peace of God. And when I'm in the peace of God, I can experience the power of God in my life, the presence of God in my life. Amen. And then I can experience the manifestations of his promises that are yea and amen. that are yea and amen. It's not if, it's yes.
Yeah.
Yes and amen. So you got me going on that one, I'm telling you, because, you know, we're living in a time where so many people are discouraged. So many people are in despair. There's so much dissension, so much turmoil. But, you know, Jesus tells us to see to it that we be not troubled. See to it. In other words, he said, let not your heart be troubled. So you got to keep your eyes fixed. You got to keep your faith in him. And even though all of these things are going on around you, you will still be walking in peace and you will still be able to be a blessing to so many. And so if God has called you, know that he has equipped you, he's glorified you, he's justified you, and there is nothing impossible with God, nothing impossible with God.
And, you know, he's such an awesome, good God. And I tell people all the time, see, I'm starting a new thing, and I hope that you and your husband will be a part of it. It's called God Chasers, and it's a coalition of pastors because what God has shown me, and because, you know some of our gifting, we know God is not through with us yet, but one of the things that he has put inside me, I'm a visionary, and I'm a platform builder. So, you know, you hear all the time about people want to get the blessing, you know, I'm tired of what I call the Hollywood ministry where, you know, you tell people, 50 people stand up, you're going to be a millionaire. Well, that's not true unless your life aligns up with a $1 million blessing. You can't get the blessing until you do the correction.
That's
God ain't going to bless your mess.
Right.
So when you align yourself with the word of God, then you can get the blessing. I mean, you can't get the blessing and get everything prepared to you. You know, Paul, it is not God's fault that our promises that he has in store for us lie dormant if we don't align ourselves up with the word of God. You know, I often say the Bible is the best how-to book. It tells you, if you do this, I will give you this. If you don't do this, this is what you're going to get. We need to go out. That's why I'm starting this coalition, because I'm looking for people that will preach the word uncut.
Yes.
Just give a word to keep a congregation, or just don't give a word because you're concerned about tithes and offering. No, be concerned about the soul. Be concerned about the deliverance of somebody. And right now we're living in a sinful and wicked nation. You know, God is not pleased with us. That's why he allows, I'm not saying he did it, he allows certain things to happen to get our attention so that we can truly repent. Don't just say we're sorry because we're in a situation, but when true repentance is at hand, correction of conduct follows.
That's right. You know, when you think about, you know, a plague, you know, plagues are never sent by the devil. Plagues in the Bible are sent by God. And I remember when COVID first hit, the Lord said, there is nothing ever new under the sun. There's nothing never new under the sun. And so this had happened before. So it's not, you know, being caught off guard and caught by surprise, you know, as believers, because we know that this has happened. And so we have to find out, you know, we are given the word of God, and we have to find out, what did God say to the children of Israel when the plagues hit? He told them to go in their houses and close the door and put the blood. And then he told them, you know, because he was about to deliver them. So, yes, we are living in a day of judgment. But judgment, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. Am I right about it? I mean, it's raining on everyone, you know, especially the household of faith. But judgment, the judgment is based upon what your deeds are, okay? So if you're in right standings with God, then you have no fear. Come on. This is not a doomsday for you, right? But if you are not, then this is a time of correction. This is a time, you know, to get it right, to realign ourselves with the will of God, with God's plan, with his word. You know, it's a time for us to really, really look at where we are, to evaluate, to examine ourselves, to see if we are of the faith or not, you know. And, you know, this time has been a time where we have lost so many. It has claimed the lives of so many people. And it's still claiming the lives of so many people. It has hit every area of our lives, economically, politically. I mean, you name it. And it has only really taken off the scales for us to really see where we are, to really see our heart, to really see our belief systems and what we really, really believe, you know? Because when we look at beliefs, you know, our beliefs are a product of our thoughts. And our thoughts create our beliefs. And our beliefs create our convictions. And our convictions create our attitude. And our attitude controls our perception. And our perception dictates our behavior. So God is wanting us to look and check out, come on, our belief system. Do we really, really believe? You know, and so, you know, he's, you know, and so there is a separation going on. There is a separation of believers and unbelievers, you know, and, you know, there's never been a time where the church doors have been closed. You understand? And that we've had to, you know, worry, you know, about going in the house. He closed every house, okay? He closed every house.
Come on now.
He closed every house, okay? He closed your house. He closed the church house. He closed government houses. He closed every house in order for us to check our belief system. And so this is a time where God is desiring to teach us, you know, to check our character, you know, to check our attitudes, you know, and because he is raising up leaders, even in the midst of all of this turmoil, leaders with passion, leaders with initiative, leaders with that desire teamwork, that work together. You know what I'm saying? That we're not long rangers. Leaders who are innovative, you know, understand that his message never changed, but his methods do. And so he's looking for those leaders who are innovative, who are persistent, who are disciplined and focused, and who understand that they must redeem the time that has been given to them. He's looking for confident leaders who are confident in him, not in themselves, but in him, and that they have a positive disposition. Because a lot of times we look at position, but God is saying, I'm not impressed by your position, but I am looking for the disposition of your heart. I'm looking for leaders who are patient, who have peace and pursue peace, and who have compassion. Amen. So that these leaders that I'm raising up, who are after my own heart, will cultivate a generation who will do all that is in God's heart and in his mind that he wants to do in this earth, so that he will be glorified and he will be lifted up and he will draw all men to him. And so that's how I see this time. I see this time as, yes, you know, it's oh me, oh my, but then on the other hand, because God is sovereign and he has allowed it, okay, then we have to find out what he is saying in and through it. And I really believe that he is calling us, you know, back to himself, you know, and to realign ourselves with his will and to really be holy. You know, I mean, that word kind of just flew out of the, you know, we don't hear that word too much anymore, but God is calling us to be holy. And we must remember that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a chaste virgin, a glorious church, one who loves him, sold out to him. And that's what he's looking for. And in that, to prepare that church, he's raising up a new generation of leaders who are going to love him and serve him. And not that he's doing away with the old, okay? Because he says, I call the old because they're strong. He says, I call the young because they're strong, but I call the old because they know the way. And so he has a preserved remnant in the earth. And it's a time of prayer, you know, and it's a time of, you know, for us to really look at ourselves and to cultivate godly character as leaders and laymen alike.
Amen. And it was something you said when you were talking about how he told the people to, you know, slay a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And, you know, when those people put the blood over the doorpost, they didn't open their doors and go out either. And, you know,
they
scriptures is like Isaiah 26 and 20, where it says, go in your house and lock your doors. Now, this is deep to me. And hide yourself for a little while until God's wrath has passed. See, we're not being even obedient, Pauline, in that. You know, we want to go out and listen to, I mean, and God gives scientists and some people some wisdom, but they have to get their wisdom from God, because, you know, if anything, you get sick and they don't know what to do. Instead of telling you to do it in the beginning, at the end they say, well, you just need to pray. No, we pray in the beginning. But, you know, we need to realize being shut in is not a bad thing. When God says it's a good thing.
Yes. Yes, because he was shutting them in to deal with their enemies. He was that, you know, absolutely. He shut them in to deal with their enemies in order to provide not just a temporary deliverance for them, but a permanent deliverance. You know, he was getting ready to bring them out of slavery once and for all. Okay? But the mm-hmm. problem, I think, is that people don't want to be shut in because it's too much hell in the house.
Come on, that's a good word. I'm going to have to use that one. You don't want to be shut in because it's too much hell in the house. Now, that's a
right.
message.
And you want to escape, you know, and you know, and sometimes it's easy to be a public success and a private failure. Sometimes that's easier for people. But God is saying, I'm not interested in what you do outwardly. I want you to get your houses together, okay? I want you to get your houses back in order, okay? Because what we have to realize is that strong families create our churches, and our communities, and everything stems from the family. And even though today families look different than they do, you know, in terms of traditional setting, you know, we still have to understand that we are family and that our houses must be in order. You know, our houses must first of all become, you know, houses of prayer. Charity or love starts at home. And so God is trying to, you know, in his sovereignty, if we will allow him to, help us to get our homes in order. Because it's not enough for you to go out and save the whole world and you losing your own children going to hell. You know, your own marriages are, you know, you're having, you know, struggle with. It's not enough. And so at home is where it all begins. It's, that's an opportunity for you to get, you know, have that intimacy again with your children, you know, with your spouse, you know, with your family and so forth. And, you know, one of the stabilizing things for me is I understand that a righteous man is a man who obeys God and the law of the land. That's, you know, what I've understand righteousness to be. It's not enough for me to be right with God. God won't, you know, if I go out and get a ticket and, you know, I disobey the laws of the land, you know, then God can't protect me. I can love him all day. But if I go out and rob, you know, steal, murder, okay, and break the laws of the land and, you know, moral laws as well as, criminal laws, then I'm gonna have to experience the consequences of those things. So the safest place for me is obeying God and man, meaning the law. You know, laws are in place to, and the things that I don't understand, I have to trust God. I have to trust God with the things that I don't understand. But I know that, you know, that's what keeps me in my safe place. And, you know, here being in Israel, and going through the pandemic, you know, they are serious about their lockdown. They are serious about their mask, okay? They are serious, okay? It's not optional. You're not just going to walk in the store and, you know, you choose whether or not you're going to wear a mask. You will not get in the store. You will not get in a restaurant. You will not, okay? And that's the laws are to protect their citizens. And so I've just learned that, okay, Lord, what I don't understand, I just have to trust you with. But I'm going to obey you and those who you, I'm going to pray for those who you've given in authority over me, and I'm going to trust you. And that's where we have to do. We have to trust God. We have to trust God.
Well, you know, here, don't too many people care about masks anymore. And it's really sad because with the new variant here, the new Delta variant, you know, it's affecting our children. And so, there, you know, there's nothing they can do. There's no vaccine for children.
Right.
That's the end, you know, end of all. But, you know, the hospitals here, you know, I'm in Georgia. You know, you said earlier, I'm familiar with WATC. I've had many people on Atlanta Live. You know, knew a lot of different personalities there. But, you know, people are still going in there, performing and singing. The hospitals are still to capacity with children, because now they are terming the children as super spreaders because they don't know what to do. So when you go around, and I mean, people are in the stores and their children don't have masks. And I got so tickled this weekend. Sunday I had my granddaughter over for the day, and so I was barbecuing, so I put a mask on because the smoke sometimes irritates my nose and my eye. And so when I came back in the house, Pauline, she said, "Mama, I don't have COVID." So she knows you wear a mask. But she said, "Mama, I don't have COVID. You don't have to wear that." I said, "I'm wearing the baby Gazette." I said, the smoke irritates me. And she said, "Oh, okay, but I just wanted you to know I don't have COVID." But it's, you know, it's got, I mean, just like you said, God can allow, you know, it. We thought that the vaccine would protect us. Well, no, they say the vaccine would just keep you from being as sick. And then
right.
They say you can catch it over and over again. You catch it too many times. You know, you're God. And people still don't get it. And it's not about being obedient to man. It's about being obedient to God. And for some reason, we will trust in scientists and politicians more than we do God. And not over here, not in this house, but near my house. We don't serve the Lord.
That's
so
right.
This leads me to the second question. I know God led you and your husband over in Israel. So how is that experience for you?
You know, it is absolutely wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. And, you know, and just to share, you know, what we're doing here, we actually came here to establish a media institute where young African-American youth or millennials can come and study abroad for 3 months, and they can learn everything about broadcast television and media and production and so forth. So we are really, really excited about that. You know, when we first got here, it was a little rough, you know, and but God, you know, brought us through it, because we know that we are here because God sent us here to be a blessing to the people, to the land, and to, you know, to the country. And it's been a good experience for me, because after you've preached, you know, over, you know, 3 decades, and you grow up and you read the Bible, you read all these stories, you know, and they are stories, you know, and then when you know that you're called to preach and teach the word, and you teach and preach with so much conviction, and you've never seen. You know, and, you know, for me, to see the land, to walk up and down the street where David and Abraham and Isaac and all of these people, the matriarchs and patriarchs of our faith, have walked and lived, and it's still existing today, that this is promised land. You know, this is the promised land. And just to see how God fulfilled his word, you know, and it's still to this day, over 2,000 years, still fulfilling his word in the lives of his people, his chosen people, and to be here, oh my God, I'm telling you, it is just amazing to wake up, you know, every day, and I walk out on my deck, and I can see Jerusalem, you know, and the city of Jerusalem. It's just, it's, my faith is stirred, you know, and just understanding and the culture, you know, understanding, getting a better understanding of the word and putting everything in context. And it's the word becomes flesh. It becomes real. My faith is just, oh, I'm telling you, it's just, I love it. I thank God, you know, for the opportunity to serve him in this capacity. You know, like I said, I've been in ministry for many, many years. And, you know, so I've, you know, I've dedicated my life to serving God's people, to be First Lady, you know, so to me, that's still a servant role. You understand? I've learned that being first of anything, that being the first of something doesn't mean that you're the only. It just means that you're the first. You've been entrusted to be able to lay the blueprint for those who will follow. And so it's been an honor. It's just words I have none about my experience, and but other than I'm limited, I guess I would say, in words, but I'm just grateful. I'm enjoying it, and I love it. You know, I love being here. I love the people, and I love the culture, and I love the land. I love, you know, this is where the church started. This is where the church started, you know, and to be able to be here and to see that, you know, the word of God is true. You know, the word of God is true. It's just, you know, you're talking about a firm foundation, the rock of ages. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Let me hide myself in you. So it's a wonderful experience. And I, you know, want, you know, others to experience him. And I believe that, you know, if we're going to preserve a race of faith, then our millennials need to come and experience the land and understand that, you know, this is where it all started. And it's still in existence. It's still standing today. Today, God fulfilled his
promise.
Oh, my goodness. And it's thriving. You know, the people here are thriving. And it's just, I love it. Yes.
And will you share your testimony? And I do have a caller on the line that I do know that want to ask you a question. But,
okay,
again, here God has given you another first. You know, to be in Jerusalem where everything started, that's another first. So when you look at that, God says that I will take the least and make them first.
Yes. And, you know, the thing about first.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you said, you're right. God said that he will take the least and make them first. The last shall be first. You know, when I think, well, First Lady here, and, you know, representing, you know, all of the First Lady, you know, here in the land of Church of God in Christ, you know, First Lady, the term First Lady here is, it means, it's a military term, you know. So when they hear First Lady, you know, they don't think of a First Lady in a church. And so so for them to receive me as First Lady of Israel for my, my denomination, was quite a, like, you know, a wow for them. And, you know, even, you know, there was a little ridicule there because it doesn't mean to them what it means to church, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important. You know, before I came, I remember the Lord, you know, preparing me and saying, okay, now, you know, I want you to kind of prepare a little differently, because First Lady means it's a military term, and so you're going to have to deal, you're going to have a full of how First Ladies conduct themselves from, you know, from a political standpoint, meaning because the church is, you know, an organization, but how do I represent us here, you know? And so it just means something different. It's the military term. And so, you know, and so you don't have time to tell everybody, okay, well, this is what it means. No, you just have to be it. And you have to be about an agenda. What are you going to do to help people? What are you going to do to make life better for others? How are you going to serve? Because, you know, that's a public servant position, right? It's a servant position. It's not a seat.
Amen.
It's a servant position. And so I can see why God would, you know, choose me, because I have a servant's heart, and I'm always looking for ways to serve, you know, my community and serve those who are around me and to make life better for everyone that's around me, not just in church, but outside of church. I think a lot of my work, as you know, have been outside. And I was mentally prepared and spiritually prepared for this calling.
See, one thing I understand, because, see, my ex-husband, well, we served 21 years in the Air Force, so traveling all over the
mm-hmm.
world, you know, you have to have an open mind, because their procedures and their thoughts are not the same that they are in America. So if you come over there with that, with an American mentality, you'll miss your blessings. You'll miss some things. So I truly can understand what you say. And, you know, here in ministry, everybody want to be a first lady. That ain't never been my calling. because it is a responsibility. You know, everybody looks at it as a title. And just like you said, not, you know, an attitude of servitude. It's, you know, it's about, you know, hey, I'm the first lady. You know, that's where it's so much confusion, because people, you know, I do a women's ministry as well called the Purpose Driven Woman, and God gave me that. So I'm like you. I do many, many things. but, you know,
yeah.
People come up there, and one of the things I hate, Pauline, is when you're in church and, you know, somebody's married or a single man or a pastor comes in, and the first thing a woman will say is, that God told me that's going to be my husband. And I'm looking at him like, you already got one. How God gonna tell you that? You know, God is the most lied on person it is. So it's like you don't understand the responsibility. Come on, let's get real with it. That goes along with these things. I mean, I used to joke. I don't do that anymore. I said people don't. I said no. I know a lot of pastors. I know a lot of first ladies, and I know what a first lady can endure sometimes, because women, and that's what I teach them, don't respect that office. It's an office. You know, it's not your husband and then you. You and your husband are one. So I used to tell my time, I said, no, the first time you ever met my husband's face, I said, we both going to be at the altar. We laugh and joke, you know, in things about things like that. But, I mean, it is a great responsibility, because your husband would not look good if it wasn't for you, because you are that virtuous woman. When he goes out in the gates, it's because you have already prepared that for him.
You know, and that's interesting that you say that, because, you know, we're not first ladies because we chose to be. It's because of our husbands that we are first ladies. You know, and
mm-hmm.
so it's their desire to, you know, to seek, you know, that role and to serve God and, you know, to lead God's people. And then we come, you know, we come alongside of him. And it's a beautiful thing, because if I was just a single woman or even married to, you know, someone else that maybe was, you know, maybe was a doctor or lawyer, then that wouldn't make me a first lady. You see what I'm saying? And so
mm-hmm.
I'm a first lady because I'm married to him. And that has to kind of, you have to understand that. But I'm married to him, but I still have a responsibility, you know, to God, to number one, to support him, but to fulfill my God-given calling. As what does it mean
mm-hmm.
to be first? What does that really, really mean? And just like I said, first is not meaning that you're the only one. It just means that you are the one that was chosen to lay the blueprint and set the example for those who are coming behind you. And it's an honor to be a wife. You know, God says that marriage is honorable for the Lord, you know, and the bed undefiled. So marriage is honorable, to be married to a man of God, you know, because, you know, and I like to tell women, you know, that if your husband is not a bishop, if he's not, a pastor, and he works in other industries, that is his mountain that God gave him to rule. And so he is still to be esteemed highly. You know what I'm saying? Marriage is to be esteemed highly. And so we have to really kind of, you know, always put that, you know, in view, you know, because you hear people say, yeah, I want to be married to a preacher, or I want to be married to him. But what does that really, really mean? You know, you can't choose the man because you want a position. That's not, you have to choose the man because of marriage. You understand? Not the position.
Oh, I do.
So I just like to just say that, you know, and it does look, you know, prestigious and all of those wonderful things. But, you know, there are prerequisites, right? And there are requirements, and it's called character. It's called character. And here, not only do I represent, you know, my husband, in which I'm honored to do so, but I represent American women. Not only do I represent American women, I represent African-American women, okay? And so I represent so much more, you know, and I always have to be mindful of that at the end of the day, what I represent is a woman of God. And what does a godly woman look like? What does she act like? What does she speak like? You know, what does she talk like? How is she a mother? How is she, you know, a wife, a friend? Where's her heart? You know, and so I get to set the example, and I'm honored to do that. And I'm just humbled to do it. Yeah.
And you do it very well. That's why I wanted you on the show. You know, I was so excited because I said, I don't know if she's going to remember me, but,
I remember you and your beautiful daughter. Yes, ma'am. y'all look like twins.
Pray and talk to your husband because I really need you in this pastor's coalition, the vision that God has given me. You know, I just opened a second company, and this company is called A&A Management. Like, I do marketing ministry. You know, I do artists and stuff. But in A&A, this is all about ministry. I help churches and Christian organizations and ministries get out there because people don't realize, Pauline, that Jesus Christ himself was the best marketing person. Everywhere he went, he told the Father. So you can have the best whatever, but if nobody knows about it, it's not going to go anywhere.
That's true. Not a gift until it gives away.
Yes, yes. And God is telling me, he says, I'm tired of people trying to prostitute the church. I'm looking for real people that have a heart for me to go out. And that's what this coalition is about, to go out and give the word uncut, to reach, you know, we don't need to fish swap. We need to reach the unsaved. And also reach those that have lost their way. Or, you know, I hate this term, but I talk to so many people that say, I have church hurt. Well, the true body of Christ does not hurt. It's people that hurt. Hurt people. So it's time for us to go and reach these people because we're living in a time of urgency that we got to reach these people to bring them back in the fold, to make them stronger. Like I said, stop all that Hollywood stuff and people go to church on Sunday and Bible study on Wednesday and you look foul all the other days. And God will keep you if you want to be kept.
Yeah.
You know, I'm divorced, I'm single. I know that whoever finds me, the Bible says, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. I ain't out there looking, he'll find me. And I will recognize him because he will be the epitome of the word.
Yeah. That's it.
And so when we know our role, I ask him all the time,
you know this person is not going to marry you. When a person come and ask you to do something to do fornication or to do adultery and whatever, and just because they bring you a lie, why you do it? You know it's wrong. So if you keep
I tell women that whatever you compromise to get, you're going to have to compromise to keep.
Okay.
And that's pretty much, you know, what I tell them, because, you know, God has someone for everyone. And a lot of times, because we don't see them in front of us, then we don't think it's possible. So then you start settling and start compromising. But, you know, God is, there's such a large world out here. I mean, the world is huge. And you just stay in Him. Just keep looking to Him. You know, keep your life hidden at Him. Be about your Father's business. You know, if I had to say anything, keep yourself, you know, and keep your mind stayed on the Lord, you know, and just live a life, you know, and whatever you're looking for, it'll find you. It'll find you. It'll find you. You just, you know,
and you're right.
God has a way of colliding destinies, you know, together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just be what you want. And if you're not what you want, then just work on becoming that. And you'll look up one day and God will change your life. He will change it. And one day, it only takes God one day, 1 minute, 1 second. He can change your life. But you just, you know, do not compromise His word. Because whatever you compromise to get, you're going to have to compromise to keep it. And the blessings of the Lord are rich in sorrow.
Amen. You mentioned my daughter, you know, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're both ministers, licensed ordained ministers. But, you know,
yes,
she has an amazing testimony, and she may get mad for me saying this. But Nikki just turned 43. And as beautiful as she is, Pauline, she's still a virgin. She
yes.
said, Mama, I'm not going to give my cookies away. You know, she does the chastity belt and telling, you know, a ministry, telling, you know, young women, you know, how to keep themselves out. I mean, you know, she's cool and she likes to have fun. But she says, no, I'm going to do it God's way. And she has a desire to be married and to have kids, especially as getting older. But she's waiting for God to send her that right person. But see, God has equipped women. We, if you stay in the Word, you will recognize who's for you and who's not for you.
Yes. The Word will keep you, and the Word will help you to recognize. And it's not, you know, relationships, you know, I think we try to spiritualize them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the first, immediate contact with the person is, you know, you got to like the person. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be attracted to the person. You know, you can't be drawn to position.
Right,
you have to be drawn to the person. Huh?
You said something right there, because, see, people don't know. You know, it may take you a moment to develop and to get that, but normally I'm pretty sure when you first met your husband, you can feel the chemistry there.
Well, you know, yeah, when I took my barrier, you know what I'm saying? When I took my, it was like God had to show me, kind of, you know, because I was, you know, in a zone of gleaning. You know, going in the fields, working. And I just really, that just really wasn't where I was, you know, in life. I mean, of course, we, you know, as women, we want to be married, but that was not my goal. And I was satisfied, you know, either way, you know, and I just wanted to please God. And I wanted to be with someone who loved me, and I loved them genuinely and authentically, you know, and and not because of any other reason, you know, but that I love him. And what we, you know, you have to like the person, you have to accept the person, and you have to, you know that, this, you know, as you get older, you know, there are some things, you know, you just know that relationships are not built up on all of this pomp and circumstance. You know, you have to live each and every day. Marriage is just the first day, okay, of the rest of your life. But you got to live the rest of your life with that person. And so it's love is not a feeling. It's a decision, okay? And so when you so as far as I was concerned, you know, I'm just going on work and doing, you know, I was fine. I was content with my life. I was happy. And I'm happier now, but I was happy. You know, and so after, you know, when I realized like what was happening, oh my God, boy, when my eyes opened, I was like, wow, man, I love this man, you know, and it was equal, you know, we loved each other, we enjoyed each other, it wasn't something you conjure up and make up, and we both understood covenant, and we talked covenant language as opposed to all of this fluff. And when you meet someone who speaks your language, see, you know, language is the core of every relationship, communication, being able to communicate. So when you meet someone, you're speaking the same language, okay, then you know that you have met the person that God has for you. You know, your core values are the same. It's just a peace, you know, and so yeah, you have to like the person, you have to want to be with the person, you know what I'm saying? You just can't want the position of, you know, being married, because you can get that, but will it last? You want it to be forever. You want it to be forever. So for me, and for us, that's what it was, and we love each other. You know, and love in every sense of the word. You know, we like each other. You know, and we love God, and we realize that it's not just he and I in the marriage. It's he and I and God. It's a threefold cord that's not easily broken. A lot of times the reason that we feel like we have options, you know, in the marriage is because we think that it's just between you and that person. No, when you get married God style, come on, then you realize that you all three are married. It's three of y'all in this marriage, okay? And it's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a question right now, and this is Minister Aquila Butler. And so, Minister Butler, good morning. Minister Butler? Minister Butler, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I hope you are enjoying our show with our very, very special guest, a very anointed woman of God, First Lady Pauline Plummer. And I know you're in media, and I know some of the things that we've been talking about you can definitely relate to. So what are your questions or your comments that you have for her?
Yes, and I have thoroughly been anticipating this interview. You know I have. And so I'm just so thankful that God led you to reach out to this powerhouse in God's kingdom. And, I mean, I've just thoroughly been soaking up all the knowledge. And, yes, I have. I windled it down to one question now, but I had a comment I wanted to make to both of you wonderful ladies. And as I was just listening and I was just thinking – that, you know, both of you women, I mean, you've done so much, and you both are powerhouses in the media and the music and the marketing for the kingdom of God, and that you're loved, you're valued of God, and you're the apple of God's eye. And I believe God is well pleased with both of you. And that's from my heart. And Miss Wanda knows me. I don't mince words. And yeah. I don't do the fluff because God has not called me to be a fluff person. And I know Miss Wanda up close and First Lady Plummer. I have now been admiring you from afar through some of the social media outlets. And, wow, just to get a chance to even just say greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful blessing to me at this time in my life. And I wanted to say to you all before my question is, I have a degree in communications, but when I started out like in my generation, there were no role models, anyone close, up close and personal. Like for me, I remember I would look at Oprah Winfrey or before her, Jane Kennedy. I remember Rolanda Watts, you know, a little bit about her. And that was someone that I could see on television that looked like me, you know, was somewhat of a reflection of me, even though I grew up in a small Missouri town. And so God, in that sense, I say God was my first teacher. God, of course, he's our first teacher in all things. But God was my first also media teacher and, you know, and teaching me things that I needed to know. And as you ladies know, being in church ministry, you know, from A to Z dichotomies, it's also different being a woman and you perhaps stick in with, you step in with your cameras and your crew as opposed to the male stepping in and even the responses on that. So I'm sure you all could speak on to all of that, but I'm saying I have enjoyed this so much. I hope you all, Miss Wanda, might consider doing something like this again, because I want to speak on behalf of those women who may feel like myself. So I'm not afraid to speak up and say, we need this. We need more of this. And it's been so refreshing to hear women, women of God, women of color speaking that we can be those successes in media, in marketing, in music, in business, in whatever it is that we have to do when we keep God first in our lives, and that we can be single, sexy, fabulous, and waiting on the proper man of God, and that there's no problem, there's nothing wrong with you going on and being happy in your life in the waiting. And so I just want to say that you are needed, and I thank you all so much for doing this. And then my one little question now is, I was thinking, First Lady Plummer, everything that you said, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm just seeing all these visuals and living in Jerusalem and so on and so forth, and all that you've done and are even now doing is, could you please possibly speak to, like, practical, if you can, what is it like for you to command your daily task workflow?
Wow. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for those amazing comments, and I received them, and I'm so glad that you are in media, yay, because you're right, women are underrepresented, and especially women of faith, and that's, you know, that was my heart, you know, with, you know, starting a television network for women to give that opportunity and to open those doors and to let women see that you are called. God said that he was calling women. There are women all around that are looking to be in media. And so we, you know, we're not just a network, we're a family. So, and that's what we want to be is media mentors, right? So thank you so much. When I think about commanding my day, I have to be honest with you, I don't command my day. My day commands me. My day commands me. What do I mean by that? In other words, I know what you mean when you say command a day, you know, speak to your day, you know, take authority over your day and not allow your day to dictate to you, but you dictate to your day. But what I found is when you just make a decision to be in the perfect will of God for your life, you lose your life. You lose yourself, you know, and you totally submit to the will of God. what I do on a daily basis is to submit my body to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thou, which is my reasonable service. And I literally believe this, right? This is really what I do. I my day commands me. So as I submit to God, you know, and to his will, in order for me to submit to his will, I have to understand what his purpose is for my life. And so you know that you are called to media. You're called to, you know, communication. And so you know, already know, that there has been given an authority to you in that area, okay? There's already been given an anointing to you in that area to rule, okay? You've been anointed. Come on, you know, for media. Right. You are anointed for media. So that's not a something that you need to command. That's something that has been placed upon you, an honor by God. And so when you wake up in the morning, you know, I just yield myself to him, you know, with all the various things that he has entrusted to me and given me stewardship over. And then when I submit myself to him, then I wait for him to command me into how I go about it. Now, there are practical things which, you know, you have to be a good steward, I mean, over your time, you know, over your talent and over your treasures. You have to be a good, and you have to plan your work. You have to plan your work and work your plan. And so every day I know I'm on task, right, because I plan my work, and then I work my plan. And I submit to him so that none of my gifts will be dormant, you know. So it's just, you know, the practical application is simply, you know, trusting him on a daily basis and doing those things that I know that I can do to prepare myself and plan my work, right, and then I pursue. And so that's what I do on a daily basis. And I realize that every morning I get up, that, you have to know that you are a gift to the world, you know?
I felt that.
You know, that you are looking for, you know, ways and things, you know what I'm saying? But you are the gift. You are blessed, you know? And so, you know, realizing that you are the vehicle, you are the redemptive instrument that God has chosen to walk in that day. You know, and wherever you go, you have the power to produce. And that's how I command my day, is just by submitting myself to him and making sure that I do everything in the natural, you know, to prepare myself, to educate myself, and make sure that I have the knowledge that I need in order to perform, you know, and watch all your gates. So, you know, your eye gate, your ear gate, you know, watch what you listen to, you know, and all of those things. But make sure that you are professionally skilled, you know, that you seek out professional knowledge in terms of, like, I Google, I research, you know, I make sure I study to show myself approved. I don't just study the word. I study what it is that I'm trying to do, because I represent God in everything that I do. And it's not about excellence. I hear everyone say, I'm excellent and I have the spirit of excellence. Well, I really desire to have the spirit of moral excellence, because that's the type of excellence that God requires us to have, is moral excellence. And when you have moral excellence, then you're seeking to do things at a level with the thought of everyone that's included in it. So I think about, how can I change somebody's life today? I literally wake up and think, how can I change somebody's life today? How can I inspire somebody today? And so that's, then I look at the tools that he's given me, and then I utilize those, I use those vehicles and operate through them. I hope that's helpful for you.
It was very helpful. And thank you all. And thank you, Miss Wanda, again, just for this moment of time with you both. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to get ready to wind down our show. I hope that you can come back. Maybe we can create something, we can talk, and we can create something to reach more women. we can maybe have a Pauline or a Plumber moment once a month where you pour into some of the women. I mean, because I know it has blessed me. And, again, I would like it, you know, you pray over it, you talk to your husband for you to become a part of the God Chasers. I am, God has told me to go out and take back the world.
Yes. Yes.
And so it takes a coalition. That's why I say, I call it God Chasers, because we're not waiting on him. We're chasing after him through whatever
yes.
platform he has invited us to do. And so, I know a lot of ministers and their wives, first ladies and that stuff, you know, probably, you know, all through Atlanta and California, you know, nationwide, even overseas. But I'm not looking for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for celebrityism. I'm looking for people that have a true heart for God that can look at the face of the enemy and say, is that the best you got?
Yeah.
Is that your best? Because I know we've always
yeah.
was. And so we're going to teach the people how to walk it out.
And, you know, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
No, I was just, you got me excited. I was just saying, yep, you're right. And you know, we're here to support and do whatever we can. And I just want you to know that. I think that it is important what you're doing. And you know, to create that place, and that's what I hear you saying, for people to really, really get the authentic word of God and where it can become relevant and applicable, and they can apply it, you know, to their lives, and you providing that source of leadership, you know, to be able to speak into their lives and to help lead and guide, you know, in this hour. I think that's very important what you're doing. Yes.
I never thought, Pauline, that a minister Butler could say, I think we started in March of last year, but when
mm-hmm.
everybody was trying to rush and go to these churches, God told me to create a telephone conference. I do it every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd love for you to be a guest speaker some Sundays, but it was just like a church service. And I get people calling in. They don't even have to get up and worry about doing their hair. All you got to do is dial in.
Wow.
And we do praise and worship. We do prayer. We do everything because I'm being obedient to help people hide themselves for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have
yeah.
to know. People think that you got to be in the four walls of a building to have church. No, you don't. The church is inside you. We are the church. So you can shout on the phone. You know, we pray. I mean, it's run just like a church service. Only thing I don't do is collect an offering.
You know, that's wonderful, and that's what's needed, because I think, you know, creating platforms like that really gives people an opportunity that even though they're stuck in their homes, they can still hear the word and, you know, and to be inspired and encouraged and equipped, you know, for every good work. Every Saturday morning, I do a women's leadership. It's for women in leadership Bible study. And I think it's like 6 o'clock a.m. your time and Eastern time. And it's just, you know.
No, it's this is a little later. It's almost 10:35 here.
No, I'm saying the Bible study that we do on Saturday mornings. Covenant Daughters.
Oh, okay.
We do a Bible study on Saturday mornings at 6 o'clock a.m. every Saturday morning for women in leadership, and it has—I mean, God has really been meeting us there with His presence, and you know, and like you say, you don't get out of bed, you know, you just there, and you—the first thing that you do in the morning is get the Word of God. I think meeting people where they are is so important in this hour, and. You know, God bless you because, you know, it takes creativeness to be able to kind of, you know, Lord, how do I reach the people who are unreachable? And so that takes sacrifice. So I just want to say thank you probably on behalf of all the people that you minister to on those Sundays. And I would be glad to, you know, to come and be a part of that. But, you know, that's a blessing. And you know, now I think everyone is so worried about their situation and what they're going through, they're not really reaching out to where it really needs, where people can really benefit. And so when you're going into the homes like that, that speaks volumes. It speaks volumes about you and about your love for God and love for his people, and be willing to do that. You understand? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. And you know, people's lives are being changed even in those moments that can't nobody see, you know. But that's what it's about.
And that's one thing I like about Minister Butler. God is dealing with her. He's bringing her. I mean, if you're looking for somebody, like I said, she has trained in media, but she's a great voiceover. She's a great, you know, she's very articulate. She can do a lot of things. And so God is bringing those gifts out of her to the forefront. But if you send me everything you have about your prayer ministry or everything that you do, you know, I'm the marketing guru. I'll get it out there for you. I'll let everybody know.
So let me ask you this. So when you're gonna do TV, I'm inviting you to be a part of the television network, because you not only have a voice, but you have presence too. And I'm telling you, you're just inspiring.
I would love to.
You are. So
I would love to. So
yeah, we would.
I'll inbox you my phone number and my email address so you can send me stuff, because see, you have something good going on, Pauline, and I want the world to know about it. I want everybody to know what you're doing, just not for women, because like when I'm doing a women's panel coming up in October under the Purpose-Driven Woman, and I'd love for you to be on the panel. It's called Saved in the City. Like, you know, Sex in the City, but no, Saved in the
uh-huh.
City.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're going to be asking, you know, I'll have a panel because I'm going to do it on Clubhouse. And we'll have an audience, and they can ask us questions about certain things,
mm-hmm.
and we can give them biblical answers.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have a real
yeah.
conversation. I tell women all the time, quit giving your cookies away.
That's
you know,
right.
Stop playing
That's
like that.
Right.
You know, they want to say,
right.
oh, you know, well, this me, they always say, oh, he left me. He cheated on you. You ain't the first woman that got cheated on. You ain't the first woman that got left. But pull yourself together. I realize God is taking you through the process. He's processing
wow.
you. He's trying to get all that crap out of you. So don't come crying to me talking about, oh, you know, he left me. Well, you know, it's just like in the Bible. That, as Jesus asked the woman, he said, where your husband? And she said, I don't have one. He said, neither was the five others.
You know, and that's so, you know, important to look at things from a biblical perspective, you know. And I think that once, you know, because the Word of God has something to say about every area of our lives, every aspect, whether it's finances, relationships, parenting, you know, siblings, you name it. Money, everything. He has something to say about it. And I found that you can live a peaceful life when you learn to follow the principles of God's word. And so he has something to say about everything. And he has a perspective on life, because he is the giver and the sustainer of life. He is the creator of life. And so if you want to, you know, really function properly and, you know, have the wisdom that you need and knowledge and understanding to live your best life, then you got to go back to the one who created you. And it's all revealed in the word, and it's all his perspective, you know? And so I love, you know, just gleaning and sharing, you know, God's perspective, you know, about life, you know, living your best, healthy, whole life. Your best, healthy, whole, and holy life, you know?
Well, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm not living my best life yet. I'm living my blessed life, because my best is yet to come. And I tell people all the time,
I love it.
I'm living my blessed
love
life. Well, you know, you're on public assistance and
And I must, if you need it, don't get me wrong, you should get it. But that ain't your best life. That's not the best that God has for you. So sometimes we got to look at to see where we are. I'm not at my best yet, Pauline. I'm blessed, but I'm not my best. And I want to, I really want to connect with you and be on TV, but I think that we can do some things for each other. We can talk. I can set up some interviews with you, with, or radio stations with you and do some other platforms. Because, see, what's in you, the world needs to hear. And that's why I'm so excited about God Chasers, because there's things, see, you come real with it. See, it, you know, I've been to almost every church everywhere with my clients, you know. Some of the people, you know, I know you say you used to sing or whatever, but, you know, I have represented Dorothy Norwood. I have did Paul Porter, Lemmy Battles. I mean, I have a bunch of people, Ty Delaney, all that kind of stuff. And I have been to every church, you know, Dr. Bobby Jones, and he's probably a good friend of yours as well, as one of my good friends. I just had him on. So, I mean, we have platforms. I mean, I don't know that if you have done, I think they're starting it virtual, but you need to be on Dorinda Clark's show. You got a lot to say.
Yes, you know, actually, she's our elect lady of evangelism.
I know.
For the Church of God in Christ. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's doing amazing things, and so she's in our church, and she's a great friend of mine, and I love her. She's my sister, and so she has a great show on TNT. Yes.
Well, I think it's like most of them are doing virtual or shut down, but you know, when I lived in Germany, I used to be under Church of God in Christ, Bishop Moody.
Oh, yes.
Was our jurisdictional prelay. Mm-hmm. I knew him.
Yes.
In fact, they knew me as the sweet potato pie lady because they made me, I can make a mean
girl,
sweet potato pie.
No
they
sweet
made
potato
me make
pie.
12.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to ask you to make a 13th one because I love me some sweet potato pie.
Oh, I'll make it for you. But I made 12 for the church,
goodness.
And then I don't know if you knew Elder Ford out of California. He was a superintendent, and my brother, L.B. Jackson, you know, he sit up under Bishop Blake.
Okay. Wow, that's a
small
world.
I know Kojic. I know the old school Kojic, too.
Yeah.
I think they used to say, I gave my hard time because they used to say, you know, you couldn't wear sleeveless in the church. I said, if a man get excited about looking at my elbow, the issue is on him, not on me. I dress appropriate. Normally when I'm speaking, my dress is down to my ankle, but, you know, I said, you know, they said, don't be sleeveless. Well, it's hot. You want me on a jacket on?
Wow. It seems like you have a great extensive background in just and you have such a passion for what you do. So I look forward to, you know, connecting and just seeing where God, you know, has. I believe that this is a day of connection and we all need each other. You know, we're not exempt, you know. No man is an island to themselves. And so you know, I definitely appreciate you and all that you do, and I've observed you, you know, from afar, and you've just you're just so beautiful inside out. You know, you're just God's girl, and so I look forward to it, and I really thank you so much for this time today and being with you. It's just been just so laid back and. And I pray that I've been a blessing, you know, to your audience. And I don't know if you have any other questions, but I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Well, just tell the people where they can reach you and follow you on social media, and I'll inbox you my information and we'll talk.
That sounds great. Well, if anyone is interested, they can visit our website, covenantdaughtersinternational.org. Go there and find out a lot about our women's ministry. And also you can go to covenantdaughters.tv to find out about our television network for women. And you can go and download our mobile app on Apple, Roku, TV, Fire Stick, I think it's Amazon, all of those under Covenant Daughters TV. And so you can reach me. We also on Facebook, Covenant Daughters International. You can reach us there. We also started an initiative called Black Family Fridays. We have a page there. You want to be encouraged, your families to be encouraged. We have a lot of information there, just encouraging the family. Every Friday night, we encourage families to get together and sit down and pray together and eat and everything. And so just so much we have going on. We, you know, I just came out with a game as well, Ebonyopoly, and along with my two of my partners. Yes, so it teaches Black history and the Reconstruction era. So you can go to ebonyopoly.com to get a copy of that game. You know, so, you know, there's so many wonderful things that we have going on. We have a feeding program every Wednesday in Detroit where we feed about over 300 families every week. And we've been doing that for going on five years. And so it's just really been a blessing. And you can find out more, you know, on our website at covenantdaughtersinternational.org.
Well, I thank you for coming on. You've been a blessing to the listeners. And I'm going to have you back. And like I said, you know, I'll inbox you. And we can decide what we want to do and when we want to do it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And again, thank you and blessings to all that you're doing and to all of your listeners out there. I just want to, you know, if I could just close with just a blessing over your lives, that wherever you are under the sound of our voice, I just command the blessings of the Lord upon you, upon your family, upon your finances, upon your future. And I want you to know that God is with you and that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that it's not by happenstance that you're joining us today. And I know that there was something that was said that encouraged your heart, that stirred up those gifts that are within you. And I pray that not one gift in your life will lie dormant, but that you will raise up and align yourself with God's will and be blessed. And just know that you are loved today. Amen. You are loved today. Thank you.
Amen. Well, my sister, I love you to life. And we'll talk to
love you
and
too.
Thank you for,
thank
for
you.
Helping me
bless
the world.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.